ఈశ్వరః పరమకృష్ణ సచ్చిదానంద విగ్రహ అనాదిరాదిర్గోవింద సర్వకారణ కారణం. సో the topic we are discussing is Srimad Bhagavatam in the light of Brahma Samhita. Yesterday we briefly discussed about the first few verses of Brahma Samhita up to text 28. Because up to 28 is the prelude to the fifth chapter, and from text 29 is the prayers of Lord Brahma, which actually is the essence of the fifth chapter, the most crucial part of Brahma Samhita. Oh, does Hindi anuvad ka zarurat hai? Hindi aur Bangla anuvad kahan ho raha hai? Ora sunte pachche okane? Thoda sam, just come forward. And Ganga Narayan, may this side the chair beshi lage. Beta, you have a yek. So, ঠিক আছে অত আর লাগবে না. হরে কৃষ্ণ. Where is Nitai Chandra? Should we have the class starting at 8 instead of 7:45? Because then everybody gets a chance to come and settle down. Huh? Because the arati, when does the deity greetings end? It ends almost at 7:45. Yeah. So Guru Puja and deity greetings. The kirtan ends at, so give 15 minutes. We'll have the class from 8 to 9. Yeah. Does everybody have a copy of Brahma Samhita? Who doesn't have a copy of Brahma Samhita? Nitai Chandra, once again, Ganga Narayan, book stall e kotogulo Brahma Sangita ache English? English? Huh? Those who want Brahma Sangita can buy it from the book stall. Koto copy ache? I think here you'll need mostly English and Bengali. Bengali nahi. English, at least. How many of you want it in English? Brahma Samhita. Okay. So, okay. So we'll mainly discuss on these 27 verses from 29 to 56. Or we can go to the end of Brahma Samhita. Anyway, the main thing is that these few prayers by Lord Brahma, which ends in verse 56, starts in 29, ends in 56. So, if we understand these prayers of Brahma, then we'll understand the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is actually describing, what is Bhagavatam describing? What is the main purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam? What is the main teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam? The teachings of Srimad Bhagavatam is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna is not an incarnation. Krishna is not an avatar. Krishna is the avatari. Ete changsha kalapumsha krishnastu bhagavan swayam. This has been explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. And Brahma Samhita also is describing that. Ishvaraha paramakrishna satchidananda vigraha anadir adir govinda sarvakarana karanam. Sarvakarana karanam. Parama ishvara. Ishvaraha paramakrishna. And anadir adir govinda. So in the prayers we will see every shloka, every prayer of Brahma is ending with that. Govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. So you can see the link. Govindam adipurusham. Anadir adi govinda. So Brahma through his prayer is establishing that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. Anadir Adi means he is the origin of even the incarnations. That is the essential meaning of Anadir Adi. He is not an incarnation. That misunderstanding prevails, even in India quite predominantly. Actually, in India, all kinds of misconception, misunderstanding is prevailing. Although it is a land of dharma, it is a land where the Vedic culture was established, but in India, all kinds of misconceptions are prevailing today. Those who are practicing religious principles, they think, not only Krishna is an incarnation, they think that Krishna's form is illusory, temporary, imaginary. Ultimately it is all Brahma, no form. Brahma doesn't have any form. And these avatars are the forms only in contact with material nature. In the mode of goodness, they are incarnations. When Brahman in the mode of goodness is avatar. Krishna, Vishnu, all these, and they have jumbled up everything. It's too loud. Who is translating? Tell him it's too loud outside. Aar jodi ye kore Sitanath, bolo arektu dure jete na. So all these incarnations are Brahman in the mode of goodness. And Brahma in the mode of passion is Jiva. And Brahma in the mode of ignorance is Jara Padartha, inert matter. So that is the Mayavadi's conclusion, understanding. And Jivas are in mode of passion. And when a jiva transcends the mode of passion and comes to goodness, he becomes Narayan. That's why they say all sannyasis are Narayan, because they are in mode of goodness. So Brahman in the mode of goodness is Narayan. So Brahma Samhita is smashing all that misconception. Prabhupada came to Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine. Prabhupada came to destroy or drive away Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad from the Western world. But Indian world is still under this Nirvisheshvad and Shunyavad. Now you all have to do that. You will have to kick it out of India. When you come to places like Ujjain, we see it. When I was so surprised to see that how many people had this misconception that ultimately it is Nirakar Brahma. Nirakar Brahma. And the Sakar is temporary. Ultimately it is Nirakar. And many devotees who are today devotees of Krishna came from that misconception. Raghav Pandit, what was your understanding before? Huh? Krishna is Nirakar. Right? Ultimately, it is all Nirakar. Radha Pyari, what did your father teach you? So anyway, it is a matter of misconception. But the misconception has to be removed, like it is happening here. There are so many, because nobody came and told them. All the nonsense that was going on, everybody thought that is the real understanding. Nirakar, Nirakar. So, and many people, many families, many people today still stick to that Nirakarvad. Even so-called Vaishnavas, they are understanding ultimately it is all Brahma. So even these sampradayas Swami Narayan, why do they think that Swami Narayan and Krishna is same? Or Swami Narayan is greater than Krishna? Because they think ultimately it is all Brahman. So Swami Narayan will become Brahman, Krishna will become Brahman, everybody will become Brahman. So everyone is equal. So now worship Swami Narayan. In their temples, Krishna is on the side, Swami Narayan is in the center. What to speak of Arya Samajis? They don't even want to accept that there is any form. But what is Brahma Samhita pointing out? Ishwaraha Parama Krishna. What is Bhagavatam pointing out? Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. That is the real understanding. Actually, when we think of it, I mean, we also had the same misconception. I will admit, I had the same misconception. Only Prabhupada's books made us understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. We used to think that liberation is the ultimate goal of life. And we didn't know what would happen when you achieve liberation. Liberation is the goal of life. But what would happen? We'll become Brahman. Then what will happen? We didn't even have any understanding. Or didn't have any worry about that. Because we didn't even know. Nobody came and taught us. How can we learn something unless somebody comes and teaches us? And Srila Prabhupada came and taught us. And that's why we got the knowledge today. The knowledge came, ignorance has been removed. So it's a matter of receiving knowledge, receiving information, removes the ignorance. So this is how Srila Prabhupada actually created the greatest good fortune for this world. And Srila Prabhupada is simply following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's line. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did that. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu discovered Brahma Samhita from Adikeshava temple. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu because of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, we have this wonderful, wonderful scripture. So, yesterday we just touched the first verse, first prayer of Lord Brahma. He's describing Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Laksha Britesu Surabhi Rabhipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevyamanam Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. So this is the description of the spiritual sky. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. And what is the spiritual sky like? Chintamani Prakara Sadmasu. Like here we see the land, we see the buildings, we see what they're made up of. They're made up of matter. The spiritual sky, there are also buildings. Spiritual sky is not just light. Spiritual sky also has buildings. So those buildings are made of what? Chintamani. The land there is made of what? Chintamani. And Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha. That place is a forest. But what are the trees in that forest? These trees are desire trees. Kalpa Vriksha. Not ordinary trees, they're desire trees. Desire fulfilling trees. Do you know what a desire tree is? You go to a desire tree, ask anything, you'll get it. Now when there one desire tree can fulfill all desires. Can you imagine a forest of desire trees? So that is what? The spiritual sky. Prakara Sadmasu Kalpa Vriksha Laksha Britesu. There are millions and millions of desire trees in the spiritual sky. All the trees there are desire trees, and it's a forest. That part of the spiritual sky is a forest, Vrindavan. Ban means what? Ban means a forest. Kalpa Vriksha, Lakshma Briteshu. And there what is happening, there are many, many cows. Krishna alone has 90,000 cows. And what to speak of other cowherd boys? What to speak of their fathers? What to speak of their families? It's full of spiritual cows. What are those cows? Those cows are Surabhis. What is the quality of Surabhi? Surabhi can not only give a lot of milk, endless amount of milk, Surabhi also can supply anything you want. Surabhi can supply whatever you want, Surabhi can supply. So touchstone can supply unlimited gold, unlimited wealth. Kalpa Vriksha can fulfill all your desires. Surabhi can fulfill all your, provide, supply everything that you want. And there are many beautiful girls in Vrindavan. And who are those girls? They are Lakshmi Devis. Lakshmi Sahasra Sata Sambrahma Sevyamanam. So that is the description of spiritual sky. When you go to a place, what do you see first? You see the place. And then what do you see? Then what did Brahma see? He saw a person. A beautiful person. Benum Kanand. What's he like? Next four verse actually describes that person. What's he doing? What's he like? Venum Kanantam Aravinda Dalayataksham. He is playing a flute. And his eyes are like lotus petals, wide as lotus petals, beautiful and wide as the lotus petal. Aravinda. Aravinda means lotus. Dala means petal. Ayata means extended. Aksham, eyes. Aravinda Dalayataksham. Barhavatam, he is wearing a peacock feather. Samasitam Buddha Sundarangam. His Sundar Anga, his beautiful form, has the color of the monsoon cloud. Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Vishesha Shobham. His form is so beautiful that millions of Kandarpas, God of love, are completely enchanted by his beauty. One God of love, Cupid, has enchanted the whole universe. One Cupid even bewilders Lord Shiva. He is so potent in his ability. Lord Shiva was meditating, and the demigods needed a general. And how to get a general who will be that powerful? They thought that the only way to get a powerful enough general is to have the son born out of Lord Shiva. Now Shiva is in meditation after losing Sati. So he is, and now Sati has taken birth as the daughter of Himavan, her daughter of Himalayan mountain, Parvati. Now Parvati has to be married to Lord Shiva to get a child who could become powerful enough to become the general of the demigods. So now Lord Shiva is in meditation. Parvati tried to break Shiva's meditation. He was completely absorbed in his loving thoughts of Krishna, Shankarshan. So Lord Shiva, then all the demigods got together and said, like, look, Cupid, Kandarpa, you have to do something. You have to break his meditation. You have to arouse his sex desire. You have to agitate him. So Kandarpa said, look, I am not going to do that because I know he'll get angry and I'll be in trouble. Because if Lord Shiva's if anybody breaks his meditation, then he will be very, very upset. And nobody knows what will happen when he becomes angry. He has seen what he did to Daksha Yagya. But the demigods said, don't worry. The devas all said, don't worry. We will protect you. So Kandarpa, with a pounding heart, in extreme anxiety and nervous, he shoot the arrows. That we can see the similarity in the Western concept. There is this concept of Cupid, who also shoots arrows. So it's same personality, the same understanding. It's a little distant, because they have been so far removed from India that they lost the real understanding. So anyway, Kandarpa, Cupid, finally shoot the arrows, hiding behind a bush. And Shiva's meditation broke. And he was naturally upset. Who dared to break my meditation? I was so absorbed in my thoughts of Shankarshan. Who dared to break my meditation? And he looked around and his eyes fell on Madan, Kandarpa. And he was immediately burnt to ash. His body was burnt. The demigods revived him, but without a body. His body was burnt. Therefore, Another name of Kandarpa or Madan is Atanu, one who doesn't have a Tanu body. So, that is how we can see that even Lord Shiva is affected by the influence of Kandarpa. But here, Kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham. Krishna is so beautiful that millions and millions of Kandarpas become enchanted by him. One Kandarpa is enchanting the whole world. And these millions of Kandarpas are enchanted by Krishna's beauty. Kandarpa koti kamaniya, kamaniya, pleasing, shobham, beauty. Venum kanantam aravinda dalaya taksham barhavatam samasitam buddhasundarangam kandarpa koti kamaniya vishesha shobham whose shobham? Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Govinda, the Adipurusha, the primeval Lord. Then again, further descriptions of how Brahma is seeing Krishna. That is the description. Brahma is not writing a pen and paper and writing this poetry. No, that's not that. Brahma is seeing Krishna and his prayers are spontaneously coming out as one offers his prayers. Alolo chandraka lasad banamalya vamsi ratnangadam pranayakeli kala vilasham shyamang tribhanga lalitang niyata prakasham govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajam. Alolo chandraka lasad, alolo, swinging, chandraka lasad, with a moon locket, chandra, chandrahar, with a moon like locket, beautiful lasat, vanamala, beautiful moon locket is swinging on his chest. And what are those? What is these lockets made of? The transcendental jewels like Vaidurja, Kaustabha, Kaustabha. These are some transcendental gems. Mani Kaustabha Garhita Bhanu Tanu. And he is wearing a garland, banamalya, flower garland. Banamala and bamsi, he has a flute in his hand. Ratnangadang, ratna angada, angada means ornaments, ratna means jewels, jeweled ornaments. His body is decorated with beautiful ornaments, with most brilliant jewels. Ratnangadam and Pranaya Keli Kala Vilasham. He is engaged in loving sport, loving pastimes. Krishna is Lila Purushottam. So his business is to enjoy through his loving exchange. Pranaya keli kala vilasham. And he is shyamang, he is sham sundar. Tribhanga lalitam. His form, his body is bending in three places. Tribhanga lalitam. His body is gracefully bending in three places. And niyata prakasham. He is eternally manifest. In the spiritual sky, Krishna is eternally manifest. Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami. Now Krishna's form. Angani jasya sakal indriya vritti manti. Krishna's body, anga, all the limbs of Krishna's body, sakal indriya vritti manti, can perform the activities and functions of all different angas. Indriya, all the senses. Every limb, every part of Krishna's body can perform the activities of all the senses. Unlike ours. With us, with eyes we see, with ears we hear, with nose we smell, with tongue we taste, with skin we touch. Krishna can see with his fingers, hear with his nostrils, or his every single part of his body can perform all the activities of all the senses. So that is the difference between us and Krishna. If you claim that you are God, then do that. Krishna can eat with his eyes. Can we eat with our eyes? Simply by rather eyes seeing it increases our desire to eat. We cannot eat with our eyes. Pranaya kail and angani jasya sakalindriya vritti manti pashyanti sees panti he maintains vritti manti sakalin pashyanti panti kalayanti. He manifests Chirang Jaganti eternally the universes. He sees, he maintains, and he manifests all the universes endlessly. And Ananda Chinmaya Sadujjala Vigrahasya. His form is Ananda Chinmaya Sadujjala Vigrahasya. His Ujjala Vigraha is Ananda Chinmaya. Now again we go back to that. Ishvara Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha. The same point is being reiterated here. Is Brahma imagining? Or is Brahma is writing something after a good dose of hashish or ganja? There are some writers, even in the West, not only in India, they used to be drug addicts, like Julian Huxley used to write. Everybody knew that he was an opium addict. So in this way, they take drugs and hallucinate in the mind. And then they write some fantastic stories. But that's not the case with Brahma. That's not the case with the spiritual scriptures. They're the presentation of the absolute truth. Can one write a book of science getting intoxicated? No. Here one has to be completely in his senses to write, because he has to observe, he has to see. So what to speak of the absolute truth? They have to be in a super consciousness to write about. Or they are not even written actually. These books were not written. They are just spoken. Brahma is offering his prayer. At that time Brahma was not thinking that in 2009 in Ujjain some people will be discussing this. That's why let me write it down. No, it was not like that. Like Rabindranath Tagore wrote, Aji hote shato barsho pare, ke tumi poricho boshi amar kobita khani, kautuhal bhare. 100 years from now, who is sitting down and reading my poetry with acute interest? Brahma was not doing something like that. He was not thinking that anybody Somebody will need to read it, that's why I have to write. Brahma was just seeing Krishna and he was offering his prayer. Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Or Brahma was not thinking that some publishing house will publish it and they'll give him some money. Like the way nowadays people write. It's a profession. They think that I'll become a writer and some publishing house will publish my book and I'll make a good money. It'll become a bestseller. I'll get a few million dollars. Or some movie maker will come and buy the thing. Buy the story. I'll make some money. No, this was not the purpose behind these scriptures. They simply wanted to express their love for the Lord, their gratitude for the Lord, the expression of their appreciation of the Lord. Ananda Chinmaya Sadujjala Vigrahasya Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Next verse is Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navajovanancha Bedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atmabhaktau Govindam Adi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Advaitam. Advaita means who doesn't have any second. Dvitiya is two. Second. And Advaitiya or Advaita is without a second. That means he is one without a second. Advaitam, Achyutam, he is infallible, without decay. Anadim, without beginning. Ananda Rupam, whose form is endless and who possesses unlimited forms. And Adhyam, he is the beginning. Purana Purusham, the most ancient person. Adhyam, Purana Purusham, and yet Navajovananchya. He is the origin of everything. He is the most primeval personality, Purana Purusham. And yet he is Navajovananchya. He is eternally youthful. Now, in one hand, he is saying that he is the oldest. When you say oldest, then we get an understanding that, oh, oldest means he has a long beard, long white hair, long white beard. He is an old man, somehow staggering with a stick in his hand. Unfortunately, in Christianity, they have developed this misconception. Not that Jesus ever told them, but they painted God as an old man. They thought that since he's the beginning, since he's the oldest, so he must be looking old. But that's not the case with God. God is eternally youthful. We get old. Our body is fallible. Our body is changeable. Our body goes from birth, childhood, youth, old age, death. But that is not the case with the Supreme Personality of God. Navajovananja. Navajovana means just 15 to 16. From 15, he's just going into 16. And that's his eternal form. And that's why he's the Supreme Personality of God. If he became old, then what's the difference between him and us? Even we don't go old. The body may grow old, but we don't think we're getting old. At heart, everyone is young. You ask an old man, how old are you? He'll say 15 or 16. At least he wishes that he could be 15 and 16. Because he's identifying himself with the body, he says, oh, I'm 70, I'm 80. But when he doesn't identify with his body, no. The body is 60 years old, but I don't know. I feel very young. I feel more young than you are. So that is the... Actually, that is what once Prabhupada told. He said that, I don't think I'm old. I'm young. So that's the case. Like, soul doesn't become old. The body, we may identify ourselves with the body, but at the heart of our hearts, we are always very young. We always feel youthful. That's why we don't like to be old. When the body becomes old, we don't like it. We want to make it young. But the best thing is, don't identify yourself with the body. Then you'll always remain eternally youthful. So Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Anantarupam Adyan Purana Purusham Navajovanancha. Navajovan. His form is eternally youthful. And Bedeshu Durlabham. He is rare to understand even by from the Vedas. Through the Vedas. We cannot understand him through the Vedas. But adurlabham atma bhakto, he is not difficult to obtain by pure devotion of the soul. Atma bhakto through pure devotion of the soul. When we become pure devotees of Krishna, although Krishna is very difficult to understand, is very difficult to obtain. No one can get Krishna. Even through following the Vedas, understanding Vedas, we cannot get to understand or obtain Krishna. But Atma Bhakto, those who have become his devotee, for to them Krishna is very easily available, very easily obtainable. Bedeshu Durlabham Adurlabham Atma Bhakto Govindam Adi Purusham Tamahang Bhajami. I worship you. Okay, so let me see. I'll do the next two verses also. Panthastu koti satavatsara sampragamyo bayo rathapi manaso munipungavanam suppasti jat prapadasimna vichinta tatte govindam adipurusham tamahang bhajami. Panthastu koti, sata, vatsara, sampragamya. Pantha means path. Koti, the path of trying to understand Krishna for thousands, hundreds of millions of years. Bayorathapi, with the speed of the wind. Manaso munipungavanam, those munipungavanam, great thinkers, the munis, if at all they are able to reach him, reach his lotus feet after millions of years of endeavor, they can finally get up to the tip of his prapadasimna vichinta tatte, tip of his toenail. They don't get to know him. They don't get to see him. They, at the most, they go to the tip of his toenail. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, only the tip of the toe of whose lotus feet is approached by the yogis who aspire after the transcendental and betake themselves to pranayama by drilling the respiration, or by the gyanis who try to find out the non-differentiated Brahman by the process of elimination of the mundane extending over thousands of millions of years. So, been a little elaboration. The Gyanis and Yogis. What do the Gyanis do? The Gyanis try to understand the Absolute through knowledge. And what is the knowledge? Not this, not this. Neti, neti. Is this Absolute? No. Is this Absolute? Is this Absolute? Is this Absolute? So this way they can go on for hundreds of millions of years. Satakoti vatsara sampragamyo. Or bayor athapi manuso. Controlling their breathing through pranayama. They stop their breathing in order to activate their mind or in order to settle their mind to meditate. But through that meditation, where do they finally, if at all they reach the destination, where do they finally go? What is the destination that they finally reach? Prapada simna vichinta tatte. Prapada. Pada means foot. And prapada means the tip of the foot. What is the tip of the foot? The toe. And what is on the toe? Just a nail. Prapada simna abhichinta tatte. Abhichinta tatte, beyond material conception. Like if they can go beyond the material conception, then they can come only up to the tip of his toe. Now, but for a devotee, what happens? Adurlabham atma bhakto. Bhaktamam abhijanati javan jashchashmi tattvata. Tattvata. In reality, in truth. Through devotion, Krishna can be understood. So do you want to become a jnani? Do you want to become a yogi? Then what do you want to become? Why? Because that's the only way to reach Krishna. That's the only way to get Krishna. Okay, so I'll stop now. Then tomorrow we will do from 35th onward. Mind you, there are about 22 more verses. So we will discuss them in next few days. So are you understanding what is the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? Did you understand what's the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam? The essence of Srimad Bhagavatam is Ishwaraha Parama Krishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karana. And Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajana. Thank you. Does anybody have any question? Written questions? No, I'm not inviting. If anybody has a question, you write down. So if you didn't write down, then we'll discuss about it tomorrow. No Bengali questions. It's an English class. Why Bengali question? Why are you sitting in an English class asking the question in Bengali? Okay, give it to me. Theek hai, diye tha. Da. Hare Krishna. Shatti Puran ki? Kye bole chhe Shatti Puran? Puran, he is asking what are the seven Purans. The point is there is not seven Purans, there are 18 Purans. Those 18 Purans are six are in Tamasic, six are in Rajasic, and six are in mode of goodness. Out of them the final Puran is Bhagavat. Shri Krishna Sadhan Navoy, his question is, Shri Krishna is eternally youthful, then why Brahma looks old? Did you see? Did you see Brahma? Did you see him? In pictures. Which picture shows Brahma as old? Does any ISKCON picture show Brahma as old man? Huh? In none of our books you'll see Brahma as old. Huh? You have a picture of Brahma there? Okay. Does he look old? These are all from you?
No.
Okay. Why is Nathadwara people chant one mantra like Shri Krishna, Sharanam, Mama, etc., yet there is a deity of Madhavendra Puri? Whose question is this? It's your question. Yeah, okay. You see, they are not in the line of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or I will say they are not a bona fide sampradaya. Because their original sampradaya was actually with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, who is the head of the Ballava Sampradaya? Ballavacharya. Ballavacharya was in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ballavacharya a few times was chastised by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Ballavacharya was a very reputed and respected person. He was the king's. He was from the king's court. He was patronized by the king. So he was very wealthy and very famous during his time. But he was a little proud also. Therefore, in order to smash his pride, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised him a few times. Like once Ballavacharya came to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and told him that he wrote a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam which was better than Sridhar Swami. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him that a wife who does not follow her Swami, husband, is a prostitute. So this is how he chastised Ballavacharya. That Sridhar Swami is our Acharya. And if you don't accept him, then you are a prostitute. That's the way he pointed it out. I mean, presented it. He used the word Swami, Sridhar Swami. Swami also means husband. And he took the analogy that if a wife doesn't follow the husband, accept the husband, then she is a prostitute. So, these things, and then Ballavacharya wanted to take initiation. And nobody wanted to give him initiation because Mahaprabhu chastised him. So then finally Gadadhar Pandit actually gave initiation to Ballavacharya. So in this way, Ballavacharya was in the Gaudiya Sampradaya. But later on, after Ballavacharya's disappearance, when Chaitanya Charitamrita came out, they found Chaitanya Charitamrita and found these descriptions, his followers became upset. That, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu chastised Ballavacharya. And they severed themselves from this Sampradaya. And they started to call Ballavacharya as Mahaprabhu. Disregarding Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as the Mahaprabhu, they started to call Ballavacharya as the Mahaprabhu. And then later on, somehow, when they got the deities of Gopal, Madhavendra Puri, that Madhavendra Puri actually discovered in Vrindavan, you see, the kings of Rajasthan were taking the deities away from other places to Rajasthan to protect them from being destroyed by the Muslims. So, not, like for example, Sanatan Goswami's Madan Mohan was taken to Karoli, Govindaji was taken to Jaipur. Similarly, that Giridhari Gopal was taken to Nathdwara. And so somehow this Vallava Sampradaya got the worship of this deity. So they just started to worship the deity, and they didn't want to identify the deity as Gopal deity. They started to call him as Srinathji. So anyway, so this is the reason. And the thing is, the mantra that they, because they do not want to be in line with Gaudiya Sampradaya, they have introduced this mantra which is not in line with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu came and gave Maha Mantra. So they are just, but these are, mantra is like, for example, Maha Mantra is there in Kalisantra and Upanishads. It's there, but where is this mantra, Sri Krishna Saranang Mama? In no scripture you'll find that mantra. So that's why I was saying that this sampradaya is not bona fide. In which line there? In Brahma's line, Madhva line, Gaudiya Brahma, or Sri, or Rudra, or Kumar, which sampradaya they belong to? Do you know? Anyway, so sometimes we have to expose the truth as it is. In order to educate you, I won't go and tell that in public because many of them will get upset. But in a private class, I can tell that just to educate you all. Because I have to give you the right understanding. Yesterday I told you, you have to write your names when you ask the question. Anyway, there is one name here. Why Brahma is not being worshipped in our temples or being kept for visiting such deity? Yeah, Brahma had a curse that only in one place he will be worshipped. That's in Pushkar. And nowhere else he will be worshipped. The Vedas encourage demigod worship for gradual elevation, but Sri Ishopanishad says that the demigod worship go to hell. Whose question is this? Okay. How do we resolve this apparent contradiction? Prabhupada also said that the demigod worships are better than... You see, it's a relative consideration. Like when you have not really going, Upanishad is saying go to hell, demigod let go on. But what they're saying is, there is, what they mean actually, is that there is no need for that. Like for example, if you know the chairman of the bank, do you have to go through a bank clerk to get your payments? But at the same time, you may go to the bank clerk to show the honor. But if you have, say for example, if you have a need of a big sum of money, then you don't need to go through the regular channel. If you know the chairman, you can go directly to, when you have access directly to him. Or when the chairman himself comes and tells you, if you need something, you let me know. Then is there any need to go through the proper channel, regular channel? So this is the thing. When Krishna says that if you need something, come to me, then why do we have to go through that? That's why demigod worship is not necessary. But for others, yes. Those who are ordinary people, let them go through the bank clerk and tell us. Right? But the specially favored ones by the chairman or the owner, proprietor of the bank, they don't have to worry about that. Without engaging themselves in devotional service, how can the mental speculators reach Krishna's toenails? That Krishna's toenails appears as Brahma Jyoti. They don't see the toenails. They just see the effulgence emanating from Krishna's toenails. So that is the opposition. But some certain degree of devotion has to be there. The karmi, these gyanis and yogis, they are not Mayavadis. Mayavadis cannot go to Krishna's throne. They are Brahmavadis. That's the difference. Does Vrindavan Krishna wear jeweled ornaments? I presently heard that he wears only flower garlands. No, Krishna wears jewel garlands. Yeah. Like, there is a description that when Krishna goes to steal butter, the rooms are dark, but the light that comes out from the, from his jewel, with that light they see everything. Okay, the same question here. What does reaching the tip of the toe of Krishna really mean for yogis in comparison to devotees attaining Krishna and entering his pastimes eventually? Whose question is this? Huh? Yeah, I have answered that already. I don't know how long I can go on, so I'll end it at 9 because we have to be here at 11. What is the need of desire tree in spiritual world? Depends whether you're in Vaikuntha or whether you're in Vrindavan. Whose question is this? What is the need? It is there, but they need it for the service of Krishna. But in Vrindavan they don't need it. Because they don't want anything but Krishna. Therefore, the desire trees are just there, jobless, unemployed.
But then we have desire tree, then we go to the spiritual world. But again, we have.
Who said when you have desire tree, you go to spiritual world? No. Who said that? You go to the spiritual world and then you'll find desire trees there.
Free from material desire.
Free from material. Now he's saying that when you get desire tree, then you go to... Or desire free. Free from material desire. Don't you have desire now? Do you have some desire? What's your desire? Tell me. How to preach to Mayavadis? Okay, this is Radha Piyari. How to preach to Mayavadis? I saw that when we discuss with them, they just come to a certain level, and can't understand beyond that. So how we can explain them that Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You see, unless somebody wants to listen, can you teach him? Can you make him understand? So if they are not willing to listen, don't waste your time. Actually, our attitude is, when you see a Mayavadi with the 3 stripes on his forehead, go take a bath with your clothes on. Whose question is this? Who is written by Brahma Samhita? Whose question is this? You meant who wrote Brahma Samhita? Or Brahma Samhita is written by whom? Brahma Samhita is not written by anyone. I told in a class. It's Brahma's prayers is Brahma Samhita. Brahma spoke. Yeah, the Vasudev wrote everything. All the scriptures ultimately was written by Brahma. Vasudev. Yeah. bypass. So this question is Hema. Who is Hema? Okay. I have a desire to hear the classes, but after class I think what I have got in my heart by the class and this feeling gives dissatisfaction. So what should I think? Why it is giving you dissatisfaction? Huh? Tell me. Come close. Yeah, what you got in your heart?
The feeling from that there is no change in my heart. I'm just sitting and hearing.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. Now that you're feeling that way, that itself is some action. Right? You're sitting and hearing and you're thinking that nothing is happening. That means something is happening. If nothing happened, then why are you feeling this way? Right? And right? Don't worry. Krishna will, you see, it will happen. Krishna will bestow His mercy and you will see. Then you won't be even able to ask, because you'll go mad. You'll lose yourself completely. Thank you, Hare Krishna. Question. Still there are many individuals who feel meditation is better than chanting. Please explain us in more details. Who is this from? Oh, I see. Okay. Okay. I was wondering. So you wrote the question. Okay. So question, yeah. So the question is, still there are many individuals who feel meditation is better than chanting. Please explain us in more details, Guru Maharaj. People may think so many things, but we have to accept the authority. Now, who is a greater authority than the scriptures? Now, the scripture says that the process for this age is, process for the for Kali Yuga is chanting. Hare Nama, Hare Nama, Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva Gati Ragnatha. Jaggai Sankirtana Prayai Jajantihi Sumedhasaha. Krite Jad Dhyate Vishnu Tretayam Jajate Makho. Dwapare Paricharjayam Kalo Tad Hari Kirtanad. So these are the instructions of the scriptures. And the scriptures are saying, Krite Jadhyate Vishnu. Meditation is the process for the age of Satyayuga. Meditation is bona fide, no doubt, but it is meant for Satyayuga. But for Kali Yuga, it is Jaggai Sankirtana Praya, chanting, the congregational chanting of the holy name of the Lord. So some people may say that, meditation is better than chanting. May also feel that meditation is better than chanting. But what will happen is that they won't get the result. They will keep doing, they will be meditating, but they won't get any result. They won't make any spiritual advancement. That means they won't have any joy within their heart. There won't be any joy within their hearts. Well, on the other hand, ask yourself, now that you are chanting, is something happening, Mirabai? Or I can ask all the people here, all the devotees here. Now that you are chanting, something is happening? Now you try to meditate and see what happens. By chanting, we are experiencing joy. By meditating, we don't experience the joy. Rather, our mind becomes more agitated. So, phalena parichayate, the ultimate proof is by the fruit of the tree. Can you please explain more about the difference between Brahmavadis and Mayavadis? Krishnendu. Wrote your name in Hindi. Impressed. So it will take a long time to answer that. Keep this question. Remind me. I will do it tomorrow. Okay? It's a very good question. Thank you all very much. Oh, so one question is there. It's also another long question from Sadhan Siddha. Lord Sri Krishna has been imparted this Vedic knowledge into the heart of Brahma through Gayatri Mantra. And in the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is written that Tene Brahma Rida Ya Adhika. So, is there any relation between this Brahma Gayatri and Srimad Bhagavatam? Yes. So Brahma Gayatri, not only Brahma Gayatri, actually it is Gayatri. The Brahma Samhita describes that the Gayatri that Brahma got is not the Brahma Gayatri. Is actually Krishna Gayatri, Gopal Mantra. So, yes, when it became manifest in his heart, then he saw Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is Srimad Bhagavatam. Alright? The ultimate point of Srimad Bhagavatam is Krishna. How did Brahma get to know Krishna? Tene Brahma Rida. He saw him in his heart. And that is the description in. Alright? Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glory is to Srila Prabhupada.